Well, a boy was watching his father, a pastor, write a sermon. "How do you know what to say?" he asked. "Why, God tells me," the pastor replied. "Oh," said the boy, "then why do you keep crossing things out and erasing them?" Ah, yes. For the last 5 weeks, three study groups have been exploring some of the ancient Toltec wisdom shared by Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of the Four Agreements. Can I ask, first of all, who participated in the study groups in the last few weeks? There are a number of you. Great. Okay. And then can I ask, who else has also read the book? Okay, so a large number of you have read the book. So I will try to make this as interesting as possible for you. The Toltecs were known throughout southern Mexico as women and men of knowledge. They were scientists and artists who formed a society to explore and conserve the spiritual knowledge and practices of the ancient ones. They came together at the ancient city of pyramids outside Mexico City, known as the place where man becomes God. Now, Don Ruiz has shared some of that wisdom with us in a little book, that Four Agreements. During these last 3 weeks, the groups have been building on this knowledge by studying the principles and discussing them. The author says our biggest fear is not death. It's being alive in the most powerful sense of the word, being and showing our real selves. Ruiz says that to find personal joy, you must break all those society-imposed, fear-based agreements which are currently tying you down. Whatever your beliefs, we are an ongoing creation in this work of transformation. And everyone creates a masterpiece of art. Each time we adopt, each time we adopt and live these agreements. It is a story, the story of our lives. We can say without a doubt that the story of life is shifting all the time. When you change your point of view, you change your story. I'll be giving you a very brief overview of the book today, and it is my recommendation that some of you take the time to read the book in the future if you have not already done so. All children are born perfectly loving, playful, and genuine. Little Josh was such an example. Energy, right? However, parents teach their children what Carl Rogers calls the conditions of worth, standards of behavior that children must follow to receive love and avoid criticism. Eventually, these standards become internalized into what psychologists call a life script, an unconscious set of instructions for living life. And Ruiz calls this the domestication of humans. That's an interesting term. Most of these unconscious beliefs are perfectly arbitrary or downright false. Many of them are irrational and unnecessarily limiting. The key to freedom is to become aware of our irrational and limiting thoughts so that we can replace them with healthy thoughts. Children do not know any better than to agree with the adult realities in which they are indoctrinated. Children do not argue with the meanings of words or grammar as they are learning language. If my parents tell me I'm smart and handsome, I believe them. If they tell me I'm stupid and ugly, I believe them. Children have no choice but to agree. But as we mature, we can become warriors, breaking free from the shackles of agreements with our implanted false ideas. We can accept healthier agreements. Our power of creation is the word. The word is the most powerful tool that humans possess. It is a tool of magic, as Ruiz calls it. It is through the word that you can manifest anything and everything. When we use it against ourselves or others, we create what Ruiz calls black magic. The Four Agreements are tools for transformation. They lead you to stop judging yourself, to start practicing another way of life, by stopping the guilt, the shame, and self-rejection. Note how so much of this mirrors Unity's teachings. These tools help break the agreements that limit the expression of your creativity and replace them with new tools that facilitate the expression of love. Wondrously, the faith that is trapped inside your belief systems and in you is freed. You recover your integrity and awaken your real self. It is important that you first start this journey of transformation with an awareness of where you are spiritually and who you want to be. The first agreement is the most important one and the most difficult one to honor. It is so important that with just this first agreement, you will be able to transcend the level of existence I call heaven on earth. The first agreement is be impeccable with your word. It sounds very simple and is very, very powerful. Being impeccable with our word, this is big. Impeccable is defined as being in accordance with the highest standards of propriety, flawlessness, uprightness. It means you don't use your words to speak ill of yourself or others. It's important that it goes both ways, both inwardly and outwardly. You must stop entertaining negative thoughts about yourself or others. To be impeccable means you always tell the truth, even when it hurts someone's feelings. It is not putting your nose where nobody wants it. None of us have the right to try to fix other people's points of view. You don't need to be right and make them wrong because of what you believe. Gossiping, very big part of this. We all do it or have done it. Consider the harm that has been done by gossiping. It may be difficult to put an end to gossiping. How does it make you feel to gossip about yourself or others? Practice avoiding gossip for one day, then one week, and so forth. Keep practicing until you break the habit. When you stop this agreement of gossiping, it will transform your life. Speak only with integrity. Say what you mean. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. During our domestication, we learn to take everything personally. Everything is about me, 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 right? We must learn instead to become less reactive and more detached. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves, because what others say is not a reality. It's a projection of who they are. And if it hurt you, it's not them who hurt you. It's you who has the wound. When you take it personally, you are admitting you believe in it. Only then it becomes true. When you take something personally, you take ownership of that thought, and at that point, it does become yours. I was very impressed with this when I first learned that. Because each person sees the world in a unique way. The way that others treat us says as much about them as it does about us. To not take anything personally is to acknowledge the unique identities of others, realizing that their views do not necessarily describe us accurately. Realize you can't please everyone, and your self-worth depends on yourself. Next, don't make assumptions. Another tough one. Certainly, this is not advice limited to Toltec wisdom. I believe that most of us have received this guidance sometimes in our lives. There are lots of other things we could be doing to improve the quality of our lives and our relationships, but not making assumptions is not a bad place to start. Remember, transformation is a process. Stay awake and aware. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. Everybody who walked in the church this morning, how the church looks, what the music is about, what the kids are doing when they're up here. We all make assumptions. We have the tendency to make these assumptions, and the problems are that we believe they are the truth. We could swear they are real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally, and then we blame them. Interesting. Not only that, but we react so strongly and negatively when someone challenges these assumptions. We will often defend them to the point of throwing away a relationship because someone will not accept our assumptions, our version of reality. That is why when we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. We assume, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. Stop assuming you know. Ask questions and express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and the drama. The fourth agreement is the one that allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. It's about the action of the first three. It is always do your best. Under any circumstance, always do your best, no more and no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality and other times won't be so good. Doing your best is synonymous with living out every moment to its fullest potential. And this potential exists in every situation you encounter in your life. All that is required of you is not to resist whatever life throws your way. This last week, I had a bit thrown my way. Two sick kids one day, two dogs, two other kids another day. It was one of those last 2 weeks. Everybody was getting their act together, getting sick. Doing your best is not about meeting expectations or achievements. It isn't about success or failure or whatever that label even implies. It is about putting all your energy into whatever life situation you are currently experiencing. Focus, right? Doing your best is not about a reward, but means that you come to enjoy the action without expecting any external prize. And that's when you reach full outcome independence. When you demand your best with full outcome independence, you can also avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. The final part of the book reminds us everything that exists is an external transformation, or is an eternal transformation. Everything in nature, all creation, is changing. Creation is happening in this very moment. It has no beginning, no end. It is ongoing because what? It is alive. Life is the force that makes the transformation of energy possible. In our personal dream that we really speaks about, and sometimes in Course in Miracles does the same thing, talks about our dream. The whole interaction between the dream and the dreamer is constantly shifting and changing. But in the virtual reality in your mind, we try to stop things from changing. We get attached to the dream. We resist the transformation of our life. And this attachment, this resistance, creates emotional pain. By resisting the transformation of life, we create the illusion of death. We suffer from every loss again and again. We attach to past memories, trying to bring them back to life. And in the virtual reality, we succeed. Life is happening in our dream. Death is not. However, whatever happened in our lifetime is no longer true. Our whole personal history is dead, but we become so attached that we bring back the ghost in our mind. We keep death alive because we attach to what is dead, but death doesn't really exist. Only life, only creation exists in reality. The past is an illusion. The angel of death teaches us to live in this present moment, which is the only moment we truly have. When we resist transformation and want to live in the past, we are still living in the present moment, but we are focused in a past dream. By focusing on that past dream, our attention is not in this present moment, and we are not fully alive. Ruiz speaks to surrendering to the angel of death. And by this he means accepting the impermanence of everything. That is our cars, our pets, our jobs, our health, our partner, our friends, all our families. Nothing ever belongs to us. It's all on loan. And death can take it at any time. Many of us have realized that. As a friend recently said to me, there is no luggage rack on a hearse. There isn't. Can't take it with you. Yet we all go through life acting as though things will go on as they always have. Then we are shocked and angry when it doesn't. Ouch, you say. Why do I want to think about that? Let me enjoy my happy ignorance while it lasts. Well, maybe it's not so happy. A lot of thought and energy is wasted every day on resistance to change. Both the big changes, like losing a partner, all the way down to the little ones, like a coworker suddenly snapping at you at work. Our tendency to see things in our life as constant or permanent is a trick of the mind. Our ability to remember things and hold them in our thoughts. This is all well and good and even useful until our memory latches onto something unpleasant. And then we can be stuck in our pain for as long a time as we repeatedly replay that memory. We live in our unhappy past while life moves on. The Iranian film Willow Tree by Majid Majidi provides a sobering illustration of this trap. In the film, a middle-aged man, blinded in a chance accident when he was a child, has his sight restored by an operation. In the beginning, he is happy as he watches with ecstasy the progress of an ant along the windowsill in the hospital. But very soon, his new sight fills him with disappointments. He discovers that his wife is not as beautiful as other women, that his home is not so luxurious as his uncle's, that his scholastic achievements as a blind man are insignificant compared to what he might have done had he not been blind. He becomes more and more miserable, trapped in the past of what might have been. As fate would have it, he loses his sight again. Surrendering to the angel of death inoculates us against the negative habits of memory by teaching us acceptance, even appreciation of what is in the moment. I've been trying to work on this in small ways, like surrendering to the inevitable and never-ending disappointments of traffic. Someone driving too slow in front of me, I do have a heavy foot sometimes, but just missing the green light that's at a light that stays red too long. There's several of those in Rockford. Drives me nuts sometimes. being cut off by a car that didn't stop at a stop sign? It's not as easy as it sounds. I am aware of speeding up as a car creeps by me, mine, so he won't cut in front of me. Takes a major effort to lighten the weight of my foot on the gas pedal. But then I remember my dear younger sister Jackie, who passed this last September because of COPD and cirrhosis of the liver. Traffic loses its importance, and acceptance is a piece of cake. Toltec mythology tells us that the angel of death is always beside us, ready to take everything away from us. Everything belongs to the angel of death. Nothing is ours to keep, including our physical body. Knowing this, it is ours to surrender to the angel of death and accept the transformation of life. Life gives us something new. If we become so attached to what the angel of death is taking away, then we cannot receive the gifts of life. The surrendering to the angel of death can also be called detachment. Detachment doesn't mean that we stop loving someone or something. It only means we accept that there is nothing we can do to stop the transformation of life. Detachment is so powerful because when we learn to detach, we respect the forces of nature, which means we also respect the changes in our life, in our own life. We are born with the ability to adapt to transformation, to adapt to constant change. Little children accept transformation of life. After domestication, we humans hardly ever live in the present moment. Surrender to the angel of death by practicing attach, detach. And those of you who just went through the discussions, this is an interesting part, I'm sure. You can practice this when something comes to you. Attach and enjoy it as intensely as you can, such as the service or coffee later. As soon as the moment passes, detach and let it go. You need not pay attention to what is gone, to what is already dead. When your attention is in the present, you aren't carrying the burdens of the past. Thus, with awareness and practice, you are always going to enjoy your life and take the action necessary to enjoy your life and detach from whatever is gone. When I detach, I respect my own freedom. When with you, I enjoy your beauty, your love, your presence, and I attach to you at this time. But when I walk out that door and I do not see you, then I detach, because if I don't, it's going to hurt emotionally. The key is to find equilibrium between attachment and detachment. Attachment helps one to live in the present moment. With attachment, you can increase your desire to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. And with detachment, you don't have to suffer what you didn't accomplish. You simply let it go. This attachment-detach process also applies to our knowledge. We hate to let go of our knowledge, even though it may not be true, and even if our beliefs make us suffer and create a big drama in our lives. Do you know that I read somewhere that only 5% of what we believe is actually true? Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Wow. They make us feel safe, all these beliefs, because it's a behavior that we know so well. Something to think about. Letting go of what we know, of what we believe, always creates a little fear and anxiety because we are going into unknown territory. When we let go, this frees our energy to create a new dream, a masterpiece of art, our own life. It is yours to review all the attachments you have. Lent's coming up this week, guys. Great time to view your attachments. How much energy you spend trying to resist change or transformation during these weeks of Lent, and how much physical and emotional energy it requires to maintain these attachments. What else could you do instead with all that energy? Ruiz reminds us that heaven is a place that exists within our mind. It is a place of joy, a place where we are happy, where we are free to love and to be who we really are. He invites us to forget everything we've previously learned in our life. In our new dream, we create our own reality, our own heaven on earth, free of fear of judgment by others, of yourself, of control, of risk-taking, and of death. And so now I would ask if any of those who you attended the study group would be willing to share an insight or something of the experience with the rest of us. If you would, raise your hand. Joey has a mic. You don't have to come up front. If you can just speak into it. Is there anybody here who would like to share something of what the weeks brought to you? No? Well, I would like to share a couple things. And just... I think the beauty of having study groups is the ability to come together with people of like mind and to get to know members of the congregation more than you've known them before. And I think it's the freedom to share our thoughts about the subject, whether it's in agreement with everybody else in the group. And I think that Reverend Mike gave all of us a gift that went to these groups, because it is a gift. It is a gift to be present to who we are and to share that with others. So with that, let us take our thoughts on the four agreements and move into meditation.